Good morning. For those of you who are visiting for the first time, I'm not Todd Cravens. He and Elise are on vacation, and we'll be back next week. My name's David Gonzalez. I'm one of the elders here at the church. So I'll be talking about God's faith family, and for those of you who have been following along in our series, this is going to be the fourth week that we've been looking at the Old Testament through the eyes of this this model, you could say, casket, where we take a survey of the Old Testament to help us understand what the connection is, not only with just the story itself, but with the Old Testament, and even more than that, the greater picture of the story of the Bible in the Scriptures from cover to cover. So I hope you're enjoying it. I hope if you're not in a life group, that you will join one soon and join us as we walk through the Old Testament. So I'll be talking about God's faith family, and in particular, the story of Abraham. And as I looked at this information, it's incredible how much material there is and just how hard it is. This is the first time I've preached, so we'll see how it goes. But thank you. To be sure, my appreciation for Todd has increased tremendously. And it's possible that after this sermon, your appreciation for Todd might increase tremendously as well. So we'll see. We'll see what the Lord does. Let me pray for us before we move forward. God, we thank you that your grace is enough. There's nothing else that we can do or offer you other than our faith to be accepted in your sight. And we thank you for this story, this ancient story of a man who trusted you and promises. More importantly, God, than the man who trusted you is the God who made promises to his people. That's what we want to do tonight is honor you because of what you've done, the promises that you've made. So we look forward to looking at this material. May you bless it. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and feet that are quick to obey you and do what you've called us to do as a result of what we hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. So hopefully this picture stimulates what we know about Abraham. We'll get to it in a second. But he looked up into the stars. And God said, guess what? So shall your offspring be. So as I said, there's a lot of material, and if we go to the next slide, we'll see that a lot could be said about the story of Abraham. It's much more than just what we hear frequently about the promises and the sacrifice of Isaac and so forth. I counted 20 different topics, 20 different themes that one could pursue in studying the life of Abraham and what God did through Abraham and how it reaches deep, deep, deep into the New Testament theology. And we'll get some of that today, but there's a lot there. So let me just name them all just so we can walk through them. Mercy, redemption, promises, faith, righteousness, justification, patience, obedience, inheritance, blessings, curses, freedom, slavery, law, genealogy, adoption, guardianship, election, priesthood, and sanctification. That's a lot. There's a lot there. So I would think by 3 o'clock or so we should be done. No, we won't go there. So what we will cover is what I show here in yellow. So we will be talking about redemption, the promises of God, the faith of Abraham, the inheritance that God promised to Abraham and to someone else special, what genealogy has to do with this story, as well as adoption. And so I'll tell you off the bat that I'm not a preacher. And so what you'll get is something that's more like Sunday school. So if you miss Sunday school this morning, this is going to be a twofer for you. So you'll get a little bit of preaching, but mostly teaching. That's sort of where my gifts lie. So if we move on, I'd like to just bring us, or just recap what we've learned so far in the past few sermons. So let's just do a quick recap, and I'm just going to, this is very broad, it's a 50,000 foot view, but I want to mention and make sure it's clear to us that God is the main character in the Old Testament, and God is the main character in the New Testament as well. So from cover to cover, it's all about God. And then we saw in Todd's first lecture or first walk through this, how we went through creation, how God created everything that we see. And then we learned about the fall of man, the flood, where God executed judgment on man, and then God's indictment of man. So what is that? So his indictment after the flood, and God talked about the introduction of this promise he made to Noah for displaying a rainbow. And in that, he said, I'm going to display this rainbow to remind myself that water will never cover the earth, even though every inclination of man's heart is evil all the time. That's the indictment against us, because that's the way we are. It's the truth that every inclination, even after the flood, so the flood didn't change us. The flood didn't take care of the sin problem. The sin problem is still there. Every inclination of man's heart is evil all the time. That's including me. And so there's a need. So at that point, we could have seen God walk away. We could have seen him say, I tried this thing, it didn't work. Flood, wipe everything out, we'll purge the whole situation. Off you go, I'll try another planet. But he didn't do that. Thank God he didn't do that. Thank God that he instituted a plan of redemption before the foundation of the world. And he picked a savior for the world too. So we will trace and can trace, or you can trace if you go through our study here, the lineage of Shem, which is one of the children of Noah, all the way to Abraham, and then from Abraham all the way to Jesus himself. And so in this lineage, God has blessed and set aside a lineage that leads directly to the Savior, to his son. And so where we're stopping is at where the lineage ends at Abram, who becomes Abraham, and we'll talk about that. So where we find God meeting Abram, we'll stay with Abram for now, where we meet him is, or God meets him in Ur of the Chaldeans. And if we can pop the map up there. So the lower right-hand corner, you see Ur, that's where everything began. It's interesting that in the book of Acts, Stephen, as he recounts to the religious leaders of the day, this is right before he was martyred, mentions that God spoke to Abram, in Ur of the Chaldeans. And then Abraham's father, Terah, moved the family up to Haran, which is the furthest point north in this map. And then God starts to speak to him there. And so when we think about the language that talks about God's asking or calling Abram out of his family's, away from his family and away from his country, it's in Haran. That's where that takes place. So he's traveled a long way. His family has gone a long distance. If they've already left, and in Haran or in Ur, God spoke to Abram about leaving. But there's a more specific call in Haran. So let's go. Let's see what that is. So there are five occasions. If we can go to the next chart. There are five occasions where God speaks to Abram. And we're going to go through all five of them. The first one that we're going to see here is when Abram is in Haran. Okay? So let's read what that says. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham went. So there's a few things here we can see. So God's calling Abram out of his father's land, out of the land where they landed, the place where they landed. And he's promised to make his name great. He promised to bless him. He promised that he would be a blessing. There would be protection. So that's a great thing. But the other thing we see here is that Abraham obeyed. So in that movement of listening to God and obeying, there's faith. There had to be faith there. And so what do we see here is in the Old Testament, we see the marriage of faith and obedience. In the New Testament, Paul goes at great length to teach us that faith works. Faith does things. And here, Abram's the perfect example. This is the first of many examples where he hears, he believes, and then he obeys. There's others that we're going to get to. So this is what we might call a New Testament theme. It's not a New Testament theme. We're seeing obedience as a result of faith. We see that in Abram. The next occasion is when Abram and Lot separate. So Lot is his nephew, and their flocks are getting too big for each other, and so they separate, take different parts of the land of Canaan. So Abram's now in the land of Canaan. And as Abram goes into his part of Canaan, God speaks to him a second time. So there's a second visit. And let's read this one. "The Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, 'Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted.'" Okay, so I think what I wanted to point out here, and this is something I didn't notice until I looked at a commentary, and the author made this point that I thought was really interesting, was we have a foreshadowing of a natural descent line in Abraham. How do we get that? So he says, look in all these directions, all four directions, at the land, and your offspring will be as many as the dust of the earth. Okay, so let me just posit that this is where he's going. It's the dust of the earth is what is the analogy that God makes. And to me, what that's suggesting is a natural lineage. Okay? So let's keep going. The third occasion. In this third occasion, this is where God establishes his covenant with Abram. His name is changed, and he institutes this rite of circumcision. And so God's already made a promise to him, I'm going to increase you. There's going to be so many descendants, you won't be able to count them. And in Genesis chapter 17, he gets that again, but let's look at how he talks to him here. I'm sorry, this is, 15. Right. "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man shall not be your heir.'" So Abram was worried about his inheritance going to a servant from Damascus. And so God had been speaking to him all this time. And I believe about this time, he's somewhere close to 85 years old. So the first time he heard the promise in Haran, he was 75. When God called him and he left, he was 75. And he's talked about abundance of descendants. Now we're in a situation where he's around 85. And so it's a 10-year wait. It's a 10-year promise. Some of us have a hard time waiting for our promises to come through in 1 week. So 10 years that he's waited. And so I think in this verse, we're going to see a foreshadowing of spiritual offspring. So the last verse we looked at was physical offspring. This one, I think, is going to suggest spiritual. So let's read it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir, this man from Damascus. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. So the interesting thing is that he looked up to heaven. So God didn't reference the dust of the earth. He referenced the stars in heaven. To me, it's a foreshadowing of something that's heavenly, a spiritual offspring. And something that sort of reinforces that is that when Abraham heard it and believed it, God reckoned it to him as righteousness. So at that point, he becomes fully righteous in God's sight. There were no works, nothing that he did in the flesh. He was just reckoned because of his faith, by his faith. So we see if we look into Romans and Galatians, we'll see that Paul uses this verse to teach about the fact that we're saved by faith, right? And so there's a spiritual truth that takes place here in this encounter with God in Genesis 15 that I think is pivotal to the story of the Bible from cover to cover. It's the story of belief by our salvation by faith and no works at all. Nothing I can do can save me. And we see that here in Abraham. Nothing that he did at that moment in the flesh led him to be credited with righteousness. It was just his faith. And God credited it to him as righteousness. I love that. All right, so let's go now to the fourth occasion. And so God's confirming his covenant now with Abram. So we read now here that he's 99 years old. So at age 75, God spoke to him to leave. He left. And now we're in this situation where he's 99 years old, almost 25 years later. Still, the promise hasn't been fulfilled. That's a long time to wait. That's a long time to wait. And we get a little glimpse here that he's, if you read the surrounding verses, that Abram and his wife, Sarah, also got tired of waiting. And so we see the introduction of Ishmael. It's not mentioned here. But he waited a long time. God spoke to him and made him wait. I mean, that's true of us sometimes, right? God speaks to us. We don't get the promise right away. And sometimes he wants us to wait. And sometimes the reason he waits is for bigger purposes than we can understand until it happens. So let's read in Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, which means exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, the father of many. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. So you can imagine him just, you know, when is this going to happen? 25 years. Wow, you can have a career in 25 years. And God did not answer this prayer. I mean, we could have given up. A lot of us would probably just have given up, right, and moved on. I mean, it's amazing. But God had a plan, had a bigger plan. So again, right here is where we have the name change of Abraham and the institution of circumcision. More convincing information that God was confirming and establishing his covenant, that this was going to happen. And we all know that, you know, this happened actually not far from this point here. We read that Sarah was pregnant. So let's move on now. So this is the fourth occasion. We have one last occasion where God meets with Abraham and speaks promises to him. And this is in Genesis 22. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time. So the first time, so this is the sacrifice of Isaac. So here we go again, God speaking to Abraham to sacrifice his son, Abraham obeying. So what's interesting to take note of here is that this is maybe 25 or so, they're 25 or so years after God first spoke to him. 25 years of walking with God, 25 years of believing God, 25 years of obeying God, and then maybe 10 another or 20 years after that. So I'm sorry, back. This could be more like 50 years because it's possible that Isaac might be around 25 years old, according to some scholars. If that's the case, then it's more like 50 years that Abraham's been walking with the Lord, and the Lord puts him to a test. So here's a man whose faith should be very mature by now, and he puts him to this test. So you've heard, Abraham, all these years I've been speaking to you that I'm going to multiply you, that you're going to have descendants as numerous as the sand on the seashore, as the stars in the sky. But I want you to take that what looks like a promise, and I want you to sacrifice that promise to me. So we learn in Hebrews that Abraham's faith was well beyond what we probably would have thought of in that situation. What did Abraham believe at that point? He believed that God was the God of resurrection. He believed, first and foremost, that the promise had to be true. He has to build a nation through me. If he takes this son of mine, he still has to build this nation. Well, what are my options? He has to bring him back to life. That's the only way this could happen. And I think that's what motivated him to do this, because he knew that God has to keep his promise. He has to build a nation through Isaac. And if he kills Isaac, the only way this nation could be built through Isaac is if he brought him back to life. Okay, I'm going. And he told the people that were with him when he went up to Mount Moriah, he said, wait here, we might be right back. No, that's not what he said. Wait here, I'll be right back. The boy and I, we're going to be right back. Okay, because he knew, even though he was going to sacrifice him, that something was going to happen up there, and I'm going to come back with Isaac, and God's going to continue with his promise. His promise that I've been hearing about all these years, year after year, or time after time. So let's take note of this verse here, in occasion number 5. So he has lifted up, Abraham's lifted up his hand to strike Isaac with his knife, and the Lord spoke to him the first time and said, don't do that. Now that I see that you obey me, I know that you believe. And then the second time is what we see here, where he says, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. God will never fail you. If he's made a promise to you, he will never fail you. He didn't fail Abraham, even though it looked like certain death to this vision, certain death to this promise. God did not fail him. I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Again, multiple things going on here. So the belief and the obedience, right? God commended his obedience, just like he commends our faith. Our faith works, we do things, and God commends the things we do, not because we gain favor, but because we show our love for God when we obey him. Okay, so I've highlighted, let me go back. So you see here, in this particular promise, the last occasion that God speaks his promise, notice how he says, I will multiply your offspring as the stars in heaven and the sand on the seashore. You know, again, to me, foreshadowing of a spiritual nation and a physical nation. A nation from above and a nation from the earth. So we'll see more of that too. The reason I highlighted this passage in yellow is because we learn from Paul in the book of Galatians that in this situation here, God was not speaking only to Abraham. He says here, "In your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." So what's going on there? So let's go to the next chart and we'll see what Paul was talking about. In Galatians 3:16, we see that when in that encounter, that the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring, taken directly from that verse in Genesis 22. It does not say, "and to offsprings," plural, referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, who is Christ." So God, the Father, was speaking to Abraham, but at the same time, he was speaking to Jesus, making the promise of many offspring, right? So here we are way back in the Old Testament, and God is promising to Jesus a spiritual nation, spiritual offspring. He's also promising Abraham natural offspring, and we see that. But that's the promise that gets fulfilled through Jesus, is the spiritual offspring. All right. So now let's look at occasion number five, just one more time in that light. And again, let's look at that highlighted section of the passage where God says, "In your offspring," so you got to remember now that when God's saying this to Abraham, he's saying it to Abraham and to his son. "In your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice," which is what Abraham did. So to me, that's incredible that God was intervening even at that place in the Old Testament, speaking to Jesus about a New Testament event, right? What the plan of redemption, God was executing his plan of redemption in the life of Abraham and through Abraham in some mysterious way, speaking to Jesus and speaking a spiritual nation. That's really what God's after. I mean, he makes us physical, of course, and he's creating a physical nation through Isaac, but what he's really after is spiritual children. That's what he's really after. If we go to the next chart, we'll see how God speaks in Genesis 21 to Abraham that through Isaac, your offspring will be named. So Isaac is sort of the focal point or the pivot point of God's executing his plan. He executes it through Isaac. So we have Abraham and then Isaac, and then there's a split. So in Isaac, we get not only a physical nation, but we're going to see in Isaac a spiritual nation. Okay, so why would that be? Let's just keep looking. So if we looked at this in terms of a of a family tree, this could be helpful. Abraham had a natural lineage that or natural prodigy. Ishmael being the firstborn of natural descent in the natural way. Isaac was actually the product of a promise. So God waited till Abraham and Sarah were, like Paul says, they were good and dead when she became pregnant. There was no way she was going to get pregnant and he was going to impregnate her. He waited long enough so that there was no competing explanation for how Isaac was born. It had to be God. It had to be him. There's no explanation. And so through promises, God promised a son, and Abraham's faith, we see the beginning of this lineage in Isaac. Isaac's the result of that promise and the result of Abraham's faith. Okay, so this, the little star next to Isaac is meant to indicate that he was not, he was the miracle baby, right? This is something that God did all by himself. nobody's going to take credit for the birth of Isaac except God himself. Okay. And then through Isaac, we do see more natural. So now we're getting the natural tree, the genealogy happening in the natural with Esau and Jacob. And then God continues to build his family, his covenant family, through the line of Jacob. And then we get the 12 sons, the 12 tribes, and so forth. And Jacob was elected. And we won't talk about that today. That's a little bit too much for us for one Sunday. But just want you to know that Isaac is the result of a promise. Isaac is the miracle baby. Isaac is the beginning of this natural lineage that goes all the way down to what we have we have today in terms of Jewish people who come trace their lineage back to Isaac. Okay, so this is what God did. And this is the blessing. He promised offspring as many as the sands on the seashore, as many as the dust on the earth. God has made that promise happen. So if we move now to try to understand this, what this implication might be for a natural family, Paul makes this argument in Romans 9, which is, to me, really very convincing what God's ultimate plan was. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. And not all children of Abraham, not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring. In other words, Paul's making this argument that just because you were physically born in the lineage of Isaac, that doesn't make you Israel. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement. Just because you were physically born through Isaac doesn't make you the son of Abraham. Well, what's he talking about? What could he possibly be talking about? But through Isaac, your offspring will be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. So God is reaching the multitudes through a promise. He can only reach a certain number of people, right, through the lineage of Isaac and so forth, but he reaches the world through a promise. He reaches me, he reaches you through a promise. Isn't that an amazing plan? What God did in the Spirit, the spiritual plan of God was to create a family for himself through a promise. It's just incredible. Okay, we're not born into God's family because our dad was in God's family and his dad was in God's family and so on and so forth. I'm in the family because of my faith in a promise. So what are the promises? When God spoke to Abraham, right, sacrificing Isaac. And remember, God spoke to Abraham and Jesus. What were the promises God was giving? Well, he spoke to Jesus that all the nations on the earth will be blessed through him. All the nations on the earth will be blessed through you. All the nations will be spiritually blessed. Jesus will have an enormous number of offspring, spiritual offspring that span the nations through Jesus. That's God's promise. That's what your heritage is. And to us, what are the promises to us? Our promise is salvation to those who believe. If you believe, not if you do works, but if you believe, then there's salvation for you. So there'll be spiritual birth. And not only that, there'll be the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So what's the significance of that? Many, because we become his children. When we believe in Jesus, we become his children. His Spirit lives within us. And at that point, God can communicate with you and tell you how much he loves you, how you're forgiven, how you're free. It's amazing. So that's God's plan of redemption. He started with Abram, who became Abraham. He made promises. And through those promises, actually through the promise of a physical lineage, we can trace the birth of Jesus through that lineage. And in that birth of Jesus, the presentation of the Savior, was the continuation again of this plan of redemption. And it switches now to a spiritual tree that's being created. So what does that tree look like? This looks nothing like the other tree. The spiritual tree is only one name deep. God's faith family tree is only one name deep. It's not like the natural tree. Every person who becomes a member of God's family has one father, has one originator, has one progenitor, and that's Jesus. And so God's tree goes forever. Well, it goes a long ways to the left, it goes a long ways to the right, one name deep. And that's the family that God's building. And that's the family that we belong to. And that's what was promised to him when God spoke to Abraham all those years ago, because God had this plan that through your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And he was speaking to Jesus when he said that. That's a great thing. Praise God. Praise God that you don't have to belong to one family to be saved. But what do you have to do? You have to believe. Anybody can believe. All of us can believe. We can be members of his family through our faith. Thank God. So, some final thoughts. God's redemptive plan, and I hope these are your takeaways. If you're going to move into your life groups this week or next week, hopefully this is what you take away from what we talked about today. God's redemptive plan is based on promises. It's not based on what I do, how many laws I can keep, how good I can be. That's never going to happen. And God knows that. It's through promises. Abraham and the New Testament, they're connected. We saw this. They're connected through those promises, right? The promises to Abraham reach to the spiritual nation that Jesus is building right now. And we see that the righteous live by faith. And because we live by faith, there's nothing else I can do to please God. There's nothing in the flesh I can do to please him. There's nothing, I can't get be more productive and please him more. I can't be smarter. I can't go to more Bible studies or more prayer meetings and please him more. I'm fully loved. The love meter, when God looks at me, his love meter is pegged at 100%. And it's trying to break through 100%. It won't go any lower. It's 100%. It's pegged. It's done. There's no more trying to impress him. It's all done. He loves me. He can't love me anymore. I'm fully forgiven. When God heard Abraham's faith and declared him and justified him, he declared him righteous. In other words, you're fully forgiven. And I bestow on you something you don't deserve, which is righteousness. You are right. Everything, it's as if you do everything right, but it's the righteousness of Jesus. That's what is placed on us. That's what we're clothed with. And we put that on like a garment, that's righteousness that God gave to us, not because of anything that we earned. We're fully forgiven, and therefore I don't have to live in shame anymore. Thank God. And now we're fully free. The last thing, we're fully free. The churning and the striving and the straining and the reaching and what can I do to please God? The effort I put into my life to try to be accepted by him, that's all over. That's stopped. That's over forever. I'm fully accepted. I don't have to try to impress him anymore. I'm free to obey his will. I'm free to do what he wants me to do. I'm free to love people. And I don't have to look back. I'm just walking forward in freedom. And that's what God gives to us in our salvation. Again, promised through Abraham to his offspring, to his seed, namely Jesus, of the promise of a generation, or actually a family of descendants, which are us, spiritual descendants. So I hope that's encouraging to you. It encourages me. The more I learn about how God has set me free, the more I learn about how It's my faith and not any striving that's required of me. The more I praise him. So let's close in a word of prayer here. Lord, thank you for the truth that from cover to cover, you are God. From cover to cover, this story is about you. And from cover to cover, it's all about your plan of creating a spiritual family, spiritual offspring who live by faith, who trust you, and who love you. Help us to understand that more and more, that we could love you more as a result of it. In Jesus' name, amen.